Welcome, audit enthusiasts and fellow Austinites, to another episode of Audit ATX,
the podcast that dives deep into the audits and investigations our office does to make Austin better for all residents.
From the Office of the City Auditor, we're your hosts, Ryan
and Max. Hello and welcome back to Audit ATX, everyone. We hope you're doing great out there. In today's episode, Ryan and I are speaking with Auditor Francis Riley about a special request that takes a dive into the Austin Police Department's 911 call-taking practices during high-demand events. Francis, it's great to hear from you again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, Francis. So on the podcast, we often cover audits that generally dive into the effectiveness and efficiency of the city's different programs. But in this case, it seems like City Council had some pretty specific questions that it wanted answered. So can you give us some insight as to what prompted this special request from Council?
So we received this special request because some council members were concerned about long wait times for people calling 911. Austin's also had some events recently that have resulted in an influx of 911 calls over a pretty short period of time. Some of those events were really predictable, like New Year's Eve, but we've also had less predictable events like big February ice storm and some illegal street racing. As you mentioned a little bit in your intro, this was a special request, so we work to answer the questions posed by council, but unlike a full audit, we don't make findings or issue recommendations. We also work on a shorter timeline than a full audit.
Gotcha. And kind of branching off of that, Francis, on a high level, what questions was the special request meant to answer for council?
Yeah, so the special request sought to answer how often Austin 911 operations experience high demand, what actions the city already has in place to respond to high demand calls, and then what other cities are using to scale their operations and adjust to high demand. And then lastly, and I think this is the question that matters to probably most people, is really how do high demand events affect wait times for callers? So to answer those questions, we looked at data between October 2021 and September 2023.
Well, when I was reading the report, I saw that Austin actually doesn't have a clear definition for high demand call events. So how did the Office of the City Auditor approach defining high demand?
That's right. So Austin doesn't have a set threshold for what constitutes high demand, and Austin Police Department doesn't track high demand events. So to come up with our own sense of what high demand looks like in Austin, we took 2 years of data and looked at that to try to figure out what the normal call volumes are. The number of 911 calls fluctuates quite a bit, but zooming out and looking at a couple of years of data allowed us to calculate an average call volume and then figure out a range on either side of that average for what could be considered typical or expected fluctuation call volumes. So any day where the call volume exceeded that normal range, we said was a high demand day.
In the end, was the team able to determine how frequently high call volumes occurred?
Over the course of the 2 years of data that we looked at, Austin Police Department had 30 days above normal, which is about 4% of the time. And this is interesting for a couple of reasons. First, 4% of the time is not nothing. So it means that 911 needs to be ready for those relatively infrequent surges in calls. Like I said, some of those days are predictable. So New Year's. Others were days where we could identify like something was going on in Austin that could explain the spike in call volumes. So like that winter ice storm. Then there were some days where we couldn't identify something in the data that would have necessarily led to the spike in calls. And that's a limitation of this report. We could see when there was a spike in call volumes, but we can't say that those spikes are all because of people calling about the same event or why they're calling. But that 4% also means that most of the time, 911 is fielding what should be an expected level of calls.
So how does Austin approach call taking during these high demand events?
Austin's 911 call taking is the same process regardless of call volume. So when someone calls 911, a call taker answers, or if the line is busy, the caller will hear a recording asking them to hold. Once the call taker answers, they get information from the caller, and then the call taker transfers the caller to an appropriate public safety agency, and ultimately, if necessary, a unit is dispatched to the caller. Calls are answered in the order in which they're received. We learn that if someone hangs up before reaching a call taker, the call taker will call that person back. They do experience people hanging up because they're on hold, and they hang up and then call back again, thinking that they'll get ahead in the queue. As far as staffing for call taking goes, APD uses something that's known as the Erlang calculator, which tells them how many call takers they need to handle a certain volume of calls. And Erlang basically takes into account call volume, the amount of time per call, and other factors to estimate how many call takers are needed to achieve a certain level of service. So in this case, that level of service would be 90% of calls answered within 15 seconds or less. APD bases their staffing off of Erlang and then schedules some additional call takers on days or events where they predict call volumes will be higher. And then the one thing that APD is able to do when they experience an unexpected surge in call volume is APD will use voluntary or mandatory overtime to ensure that their phones are covered.
As I'm sure some of our listeners are aware, when we conduct audits and special requests, we often look at the practices of other peer cities for comparison. So, Francis, how do we compare to other cities? Are there any key differences in our approach?
Austin handles 911 calls pretty similarly to the other cities we looked at. Call taking is a pretty manual process, and it requires call takers who are trained to ask questions and get information from people in high-stress situations. Most cities, Austin included, try to shunt their non-emergency calls to something other than 911. But people don't always know if their call is an emergency or not. So inevitably, 911 call takers field some non-emergency calls as well. How we handle the calls is pretty similar to other cities we looked at. A big difference we saw between Austin and other cities we looked at was the number of call takers for the volume of calls coming in. So when we looked at call volumes and staffing in other cities, we controlled for the differences in city size and typical call volumes by calculating the number of calls per call taker. For most cities, that's a range depending on their staffing levels. So we got sort of a low end and a high end of staffing for most cities. And when we looked at the average number of calls per call taker, Austin had the second most calls per call taker, as well as the second widest range of calls per call taker. And that really means that our call takers are answering a lot more calls per person than most of the cities we looked at. And they're also dealing with a lot more variability in call volume per call taker. One of the approaches that some cities are starting to explore is using artificial intelligence. The idea is that artificial intelligence could help relieve some of the burden from call taking, possibly by directing callers to the correct agency or determining if a call is in fact an emergency. Denver, one of the cities we looked at, is exploring AI as a way to shave off time from call taking in the situation where multiple people call all about the same incident. So something like a crash or a fire. A potential pitfall with AI is it's really hard to replace a human. A human can adapt their questioning to the nuances of people's answers in a way that AI, you know, it's still an emerging technology. But I think there's also a concern that it could miss something. And when you're taking 911 calls, you're talking about potentially life and death situations. And so one of the concerns is, do we trust artificial intelligence enough to handle that yet?
Thanks for that, Francis. And, you know, I'm always fascinated to hear how Austin compares to some of our other cities here in our nation, and especially how AI can come into play moving forward with some of our city's work. Can you tell us how high volume events can impact our callers and our residents here in Austin?
Sure. So when there's high demand, it can lead to longer wait times for people trying to reach 911, which in turn leads to longer waits for people who need police, fire, or EMS dispatched to them. So people sometimes hang up if they're on hold and then call back, as I mentioned, thinking it will allow them to move up in the queue. As we learned, it doesn't. But it does mean that an APD call taker has to call them back, which just sort of adds to the overwhelm in the system. Something interesting we found was that although higher call volumes often correlated with longer wait times, this wasn't always the case. Sometimes the data show high volumes, but pretty fast pickups, which is obviously good. Sometimes, though, we found that relatively low call volumes had longer wait times. And so what that's telling us is that the long wait times aren't always because Austin Police Department has a huge influx of calls all at once.
All right. Well, thank you again so much for hopping on the pod, Francis. Very appreciative of the work you and your team did to answer these very crucial questions coming from City Council. We are not done with you just yet, Francis. Today we are going to be continuing our Two Truths and a Lie segment. So Francis, Max is going to list off three audit or investigation findings that our office has made. Two of those findings are going to be true, and one will be a lie. It is up to you to determine which is true and which is false. So let's take it away, Max.
All right, Francis. So for the two truths and a lie, our first report that we're taking a look at here is AE Vegetation Management. With that, while Austin Energy's forestry division is behind on its current 7-year trim cycle goal, industry best practices are to have a trim cycle goal of 5 years. Our next one is city services for older adults. The city has a clear, consistent online advertising for city programs and services for older adults. 70% said that the city of Austin's website was somewhat useful or very useful in helping older adults locate programs and services. And lastly, regarding our data reliability report, many of the assets on the portal are of low interest to the community and are not frequently accessed. 42% of assets have fewer than 100 views. Francis, which two of these are truths and which one is a lie?
Well, that would be the older adults is the lie.
Looks like you're correct, Francis. You sure do know your OSA reports well. That one is indeed the lie, and the other two are the truths.
That's a relief.
And it's actually untrue because we found that the city does not have clear and consistent online advertising for city programs and services for older adults. And over half of survey respondents actually indicated that the city of Austin's website wasn't useful in helping older adults locate programs and services. So great job sussing out the falsehood there, Francis. And thank you again so much for hopping on. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Audit ATX. For more information about this report, you can visit our website at austintexas.gov/auditor or shoot us an email at austinauditor@austintexas.gov.
And feel free to follow us on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Austin Auditor, and subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Bye now.